Bucks Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday. Primary election day, hour number 3, is now underway. Still coming in about 30 minutes from now, we'll hear from Barry Moore, congressman from the 1st Congressional District, but also candidate for United States Senate. So stay tuned for that. Joining us now on the line, we've got him for a few minutes here. So we kind of put a finishing touch before people go to vote. Some of you haven't voted yet, but Jay Mitchell, candidate for Attorney General, is with us, former State Supreme Court Justice. Jay, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. I'm great. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. Well, what are you hearing out there? Give us your bird's eye view here.
Yeah. Well, I'm sensing a lot of enthusiasm among people who are going to vote today for Jay Mitchell for Attorney General. Getting a lot of great text, phone calls, pictures of ballots going into the polls. I've been working a lot today in Shelby County in the Birmingham area, about to head toward North Alabama. And I was down in your neck of the woods a lot this weekend, down in Baldwin County and at the coast and in South Alabama, and just had great enthusiasm down there. So we're going to finish this race strong, and I'm excited about tonight.
Well, I think you and I may have talked in the past, there's a lot of undecided voters or were in the late stages of this race, and now you have the opportunity, if they're still undecided out there, tell them why they ought to vote for you.
Well, there are a few big things. Number one, there's a very clear contrast between me and one of my opponents in this race. I am built by Alabama, built for Alabama. Almost all of my fundraising in this race has come from individuals, families, businesses here in Alabama, and that's who I'm going to serve. I'm going to serve the people of Alabama. My opponent, Katherine Robertson, the vast majority of her money comes from these out-of-state and D.C. dark money folks. And that, look, let's just be real. You're going to dance with the one who brought you and who's bringing me to the Attorney General's office. It's the people of Alabama. That's who I'm going to serve. Second big thing is who's standing with law enforcement. There's been an attack ad from my opponent about me on that. It's just empty rhetoric. Anybody who followed my body of work on the Alabama Supreme Court will tell you I was a tough law and order judge, and I backed the blue. And I'm thankful to have the support of so many great Republican sheriffs, a ton of police chiefs across the state, and rank-and-file officers and deputies across the state, too. I would encourage your listeners to go to my campaign Facebook page. Pinned at the top is a 3-minute video featuring the story of former Montgomery police officer Cody Smith. It's a powerful testimony about my work on the court and about his story there. I would encourage your listeners to go there. And then the last thing I would say is we need an attorney general who is going to stand proudly for life. And I'll tell you, I'm so thankful to be endorsed in this race by Alabama Citizens for Life, a true homegrown pro-life group, tens of thousands of citizens across the state of Alabama who are in support of life. And I'll tell you, my work on the court reflects that. My opponent has received nearly $300,000 from an abortion mega donor out of state who spent a lot of money to build a new clinic for Planned Parenthood in downtown Birmingham. I would never accept that money. We got to have, again, we're back to, you're going to dance with the one who brought you. And I believe firmly in standing for life. I'm proud to have the support of so many great pro-life citizens across Alabama. We need an attorney general who's going to answer to the people of Alabama, stand with law enforcement and back to blue, and stand proudly for life. And that's who I am.
And, I guess you got to kind of feel good about where you're at. Any expectations?
My expectation is we're going to win. I don't know exactly what tonight looks like. We just need as many people to get out and vote today for Jay Mitchell as they can. And I know a lot of people have probably gone and voted already. If you haven't voted, you got until 7 o'clock tonight. Would love for you to go to your polling precinct and cast your ballot for Jay Mitchell for Attorney General.
Well, Jay, best of luck to you. We'll circle back around and probably hear from you again here soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, Jeff. Great to be with you.
No problem. Jay Mitchell, ladies and gentlemen, running for Alabama's open attorney general seat. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. Let's see. We got a couple of texts here. Ella says she was number 187 in Magnolia Springs. Sends me an image, a lot of campaign signs. Are you seeing this? You're seeing a lot of people as you go in, a lot of poll greeters. Now, the secret of poll greeting on an election like this, sometimes that's the lasting impression. Did you have somebody sitting out there, they hand you a card, or you just have that fresh on your mind? Now, some places, they don't allow that, which is interesting to me. And it varies county by county, I guess. But that's where we are. 187 is a good number, though. Please, this is from Mike. Please tell Mitchell a big Al Akbar, God is the greatest from me. And yes, I voted for Pam Casey. Wally, Belfast, 1105, count at 204. I usually vote around 2 with an average count of 350. So I think things are normal today. Maybe they will be normal. Normal is not really, really high turnout. Normal is sort of low turnout, primary. People are coached up, but they will vote in the general election. Now, I wonder about this. Now, our election in Alabama not getting, the lion's share of national media attention. It's getting mentioned. It's also getting mentioned because of the redistricting. But those of you who are allegedly too stupid to know that you vote today and not on August 11th, we'll see. If that's the case, if they get about what they get, say 4 years ago, then in a Republican and Democrat primaries, then I'd be surprised. It just feels there's just a lack of enthusiasm. Now, 4 years ago, you didn't have statewide elections. Or, yeah, you did have statewide elections, but you didn't have anything necessarily at the top of the ballot. Let's see. 2022 would have been what? You've been voting for Katie Britt or Mo Brooks or Mike Durant. You'd have had governor. You did have what in theory was a competitive gubernatorial election. You did have other candidates besides the incumbent. You had Tim James, Lindy Blanchard. So there's a little bit more on the ballot, but there was also the national politics at the time where Biden's in office. We don't like Biden. It's not, I don't think this is a wave cycle, even for Democrats. I think they are going to do extremely well. Just kind of keep an eye on it nationally. Democrat turnout will be probably better nationally. Democrats are fired up. It's a Supreme Court decision. They were fired up at 22 over Dobbs. The abortion issue came to play in 22. In 26, are we going to look back and say that it's a redistricting get out the vote? Well, I'll be curious to see, based on the kind of manufactured protest in Selma and Montgomery this weekend, if that matters. Rock and roll doctor who's running for dog catcher in Montrose. Any suggestions? Troy fan. Hi, Jeff. Thank you for your excellent election coverage with this election cycle. You're very kind to say that. I do feel like, I feel like we do a good job in our part of the state. I just don't know that there's a lot of programming out there that's so focused on the whims of the statewide ballot. And I'm not just talking about Senate and governor, but lieutenant governor and AG. A lot of AG interest. I mean, that's such a big office. Also, Ag Commissioner. Jack Williams, Christine Warner McGinnis, Corey Hill. We've heard a lot of Christina Warner McGinnis. I haven't heard so much from the other two. And maybe they're just, maybe it's just this, that the, I don't know, this market, that they're just not feeling it. I don't know why Jack Williams isn't. We'll see if that pays off for her. She may surprise. 5-point plan sticks in your head. Who you got in the auditor's race? The most expensive auditor's race in Alabama history. Why is that? I've been saying that. I guess I haven't explained it because it seems obvious, but typically you don't spend a lot of, you don't, this is an office that has a lot of power. It's kind of a stepping stone office. Yes, you get a nice little office in the Capitol building, and you get to give the speech on Inauguration Day. But they have taken a lot of the powers away from the state auditor. Well, today, you got Andrew Sorrell, the incumbent, one-time Secretary of State candidate, and you got Derek Chen, who is just dumping a lot of money into this, going up on TV. This might be the true test for television and the way we've done things in these elections. Just the observation, the story of this cycle is the undecided voter and why there were so many undecideds in excess of 40-50% in some races. With just a month to go before Election Day. Well, people just weren't tuned in. Well, but typically they're a little more in tune. And the problem is, Will Hampson and I were talking about this. There's an antiquated playbook, I am convinced. Culture has changed. People watch different things. They consume media different ways. They get their news from a social media feed, be it Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, X. Blue sky if you're crazy. Being up on TV doesn't land like it used to. The Trump endorsement, does it matter as much as it had in, say, 2018? Fire Dog, District 32, Chris Elliott, State Rep 96, Matt Simpson, Governor Tuberville, Lieutenant Governor Wall, State Senate or U.S. Senator Jared Hudson, AL1, Jerry Carl, Attorney General Jay Mitchell, Secretary of State Carolyn Dobson, Young Boozer Treasurer, Jack Williams Ag, Amendment 1, yes. Amendment 2, no. There were a ton of local Daphne I didn't include. My family always ask who I'm voting for, as I know they pay attention. That's interesting. More of your texts. Keep them coming. 251-343-0106. Let us know if you're voting out there. If you're not, let us know why. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Borst Show on FM Talk 106.5.
A couple guys in first class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles. Kind of making small talk, killing time, flirting with the flight attendant.
Oh, mama, can this really be the end? To be stuck inside.
Welcome back to the Jeff Borst Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday, primary election day. Tomorrow on the show, not really sure what direction we'll go there. We know we'll get Joey Clark on the program, but we'll have a number of guests kind of get a recap of what we thought happened last night. I guess in the future, what happens tonight. But tomorrow, that will be the discussion. We'll go through the results. Surprises, shocks, etc. We'll hit those for you, and we'll do a good synopsis. Barry Moore in the next segment. Also tonight, election night coverage, Sean Sullivan and I, and possibly Dalton and Dan, will be with you. I think we'll do a segment online or two, and then 8 o'clock as they come in, we'll do our election night coverage. So 106.5 is your place to be. If you're out there listening, and we'll go through the results. We'll keep an eye on that throughout the night, throughout the evening. Also, 1890 News, 1890news.com. We are going. So how many of you have this frustration that you're looking at like a TV website or the Secretary of State site? When a race is called, we're going to try to be as fast as possible and get the results up. And we'll ask the people on the ground at all the different places, Barry Moore in Geneva County. We'll have Coach Tuberville up in Birmingham. I believe Marshall's doing his in Montgomery. Jared Hudson in Birmingham. But we'll be around the state, 1890 News. We'll have people on the ground at all these places. Win, lose, or draw. And that's coming up tonight and tomorrow. Monty Harwell and Birch had representation at J.E. Turner. One lost my vote for endorsing the other. Unnamed texter. I think the undecideds are due to Trump's declining popularity among Republican voters. Most candidates are hitching themselves to a lame duck. I don't know if it's directly Trump. I don't think people are like, I hate that Donald Trump, I'm not going to vote. But I do think the conditions on the ground, which are a product of Donald Trump, primarily gas prices, and we could debate gas prices and national security till we're blue in the face. But I'm telling you, the reality is it's going to impact people's enthusiasm. It just is. But we'll see if it matters here in Alabama. Unnamed texter writes, I voted for Kim McFeeters to give Tuberville the finger for not campaigning and not laying out any plans for the governorship. Well, I still think there's time here. Listen, he didn't really have a serious opponent. McFeeters was spending his time down in the courtrooms trying to get him DQ'd. It was very gimmicky. I believe your real race is discussion of policy and issues that's going to come between he and what appears to likely be Doug Jones. That's my guess. But it's interesting. I'm curious. I bet you McFeeters will do better than he would otherwise, just because some people will vote for, you know, anybody that somebody ought to be considered. It shouldn't be just given away. It shouldn't be a formality. I think that'll help his totals as we head into tonight. Any McFeeters voters out there? You see this a little bit. I mean, just kind of a vote against the establishment. And it's weird to think of Tuberville as sort of the establishment. Montgomery was against him. They wanted Will Ainsworth, but they didn't get that. 251-343-0106. Derek's writes, please, everyone vote for Chris. Too many good jokes. Let's get a break in here. I'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Look the same. What you see ain't nothing new. 'Cause I was country. It's where I drank my first beer. back to the Jump Force Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this, what's left of this Tuesday as people go out to vote. So we can get some text in 251-343-0106. Joining us now, he is a candidate for United States Senate, but he's also my congressman. Congressman Barry Moore is with us. Congressman, how are you?
Jeff, we are good. Great to be with you this morning.
Hey, thanks for appearing on the program. Kind of tell us what you're seeing out there.
Well, we're hearing good things. We're excited. The president and I did a tele-rally last night. I think close to 30, 40,000 people were on. And then he called about 240,000 and left them voicemails, put a video out this morning, encouraging the people of Alabama to get out and support me. He is... He calls me a friend and a fighter, and truly he is a good friend. And we've been in the fight with the president for, well, he's been there a year and a half now. So I've been in D.C. 5 years, but he counts on us to get the work done, and he knows he can trust me. And so we're excited about what we're hearing. The response has been remarkable.
Well, it's quite a journey from Lad People's Stadium in August 2015 to where you are today.
Yes, for 11 years. And who knew that day when I endorsed him? I had no idea, Jeff. You know, none of us did. If he'd even win, never mind take a four-year reprieve and come back 4 years later and be endorsing me for the Senate. Nobody saw this coming. The good Lord's the only person that could have possibly envisioned this. But we're excited to be where we're at, and it's just been a full-circle moment for our family, and it's a great day for us and for our team.
Well, I guess we go back even further, beating the perjury charges, and, you know, you come back from that. You run for Congress. Wasn't meant to be that time, but then you run again, and then there you are. And now you're on the verge of a U.S. Senate seat. That's stuff that you put in your biography someday.
Yeah, brother. You know, I was the General Flynn before there was a General Flynn, but that process did such a thing in my heart to seek what the Lord was calling me to do. And so when we endorsed Trump, it was part of that. And yeah, it's just been an interesting story for us. And I'm humbled that the Lord has been able to use us, and we've been just so blessed as a family. And I just can't say enough about, you just never know what his plan is for your life, but we've been blessed, brother.
Well, still, I would imagine some undecideds out there, so we head into lunchtime, but make a closing argument for the listeners.
Well, I think, you know, obviously there are a lot of people in the race, good people, I think, and everybody's, you know, there's always rhetoric in these primaries, but I just ask people to take a look at our record. These are third-party people. This is not Barry Moore's campaign team. You know, one of the most conservative guys in the delegation, one of the, you know, only one of 11, you know, that got a absolute perfect score from Heritage out of 435 congressmen, and one that the president has depended on, and he's seen me fight for him. I've been on Judiciary Committee with Jim Jordan, and we've been in the fight for the president. So there's no guessing work. There's no guesswork here. We know what we've got. We see often we elect people that are Republicans. They run. They say they're going to do things, and then when they get there, the system gets its hooks in them. That has not been the case with us. We have held the line. We have been a conservative fighter to America First agenda, and the president sees that. And so we just encourage everybody to go vote today and just check our record. That's the best thing you can do is look at what we've done, not what we say we're going to do or what we might do, but look at what we've done.
Well, Congressman, best luck to you, and I suppose we'll hear from you in the future.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jeff.
Barry Moore, ladies and gentlemen, he is a candidate for U.S. Senate. He's a congressman, city congressman now, but he's given up that seat, and that is a three-way race there. Steve Marshall. Yeah, Jared Hudson and Barry Moore will be watching tonight. And we got all the AG candidates and all the Senate candidates. Wish we could have done more on some of these races, but there you have it. Now it's up to you to go vote. 251-343-0106. Just recap the news. It's election day in Alabama. Mixed takes over the course of the program on turnout. So some say nothing, and then it's picking up, but it always picks up. I mean, it is lunchtime, people taking their lunch break to go vote. Probably go vote here in a little while. Just go down to the church and see what things will look like. But like I said, it started out real slow, and people telling me it was pretty abysmal, and now I'm starting to hear a little bit of different message from around the state, particularly in our listening audience. But let me know what you're seeing if you get into the next. It'll go on throughout the day. Let's see, Mike. I voted for Sorrell, but I thought you said the elections were moved to November 3rd yesterday. Are we supposed to vote tomorrow? I'm so confused, but at least I don't have to neatly fill in bubbles today now. Yeah, I'm not buying it. I'm sorry. We've heard that. Oh, people are just going to be so confused, and they're not going to come out and be able to vote for me. But it sounds mixed. Jeff, I'll never vote for Tubbs. I still remember the fear is fum comment and can't get past it. Roll Tide Roll from Marvin. That never really mattered for Tommy Tuberville. No, he played it right. And what did he say? If it weren't for me, you would never have gotten to Nick Saban. Which is true. Beating Alabama 6 times in a row, man, those were the days. But it's interesting you bring that up because it just never it never mattered. He's like one of the most popular Republican. He is the most popular Republican in the history of the state. That's a very limited history. It's abbreviated. We've been a Democrat state most of our existence. Jeff Sessions maybe would have given him a run for his money at one time. Jeff Sessions, he beat him in 2020. Certainly not Richard Shelby. What other Republicans come close? Kay Ivey? Bob Riley? Bob James, who was a Democrat? Roy Moore? I just, you know, for a ruby red Republican state, we're not really steeped in a lot of Republican Party history. A lot of the story of the Republican Party was taking on the Democrats and eventually achieving some successes. Goldwater, Reagan, and then later Guy Hunt. And then finally the legislature, Mike Hubbard in 2010. But Tommy Tuberville's been unbeatable. I mean, I would even put Katie Britt up there. As the state's increasingly becoming more Republican. But you have two pretty high-profile Republicans. They're on the news, the national news, regularly. They're movers and shakers. They're not behind-the-scenes types. Will our next senator be able to fill those shoes? What do you want? I mean, that's another thing. Do you want a Tommy Tuberville type? Some people in the state don't. A lot of Republican voters, pro-business community, hey, keep your head down. Get those appropriations, get that money for the bridge, steer the dollars. There's a lot of that. Jeff writes, Sims precinct is a good turnout. I'm all in on Florida man Tuberville, Jared Hudson, Rusty Glover, and no PSC incumbents. Adam, Jeff, I just left Seals Community Center on Texas Street. It wasn't crowded, but it was steady. When I left, total vote count was 520, which is an hourly average of 118. Derek, still waiting on the plan. I'll settle for concepts of a plan at this point. What, in regards to what? Maybe it's hard to catch sarcasm, or if that's not what you're trying to convey here, over the text line. But also in the news today, one to watch, will the Trump administration or Trump political team continue its winning streak? Not just here in Alabama with John Wall, Barry Moore, and Tommy Tuberville. Thomas Massie, the incumbent, and Trump's really pushing hard now. You know, at one point it was a coin flip. There's a lot of polling out there to suggest Massie's in trouble. He's not going down without a fight. Georgia also voting today. You have a Trump-endorsed candidate there. got a real fight ahead of him. But that's what the people kind of outside the state are looking at. Tonight, typically the major metropolitan areas are a little late coming in. For some reason, the last couple cycles, Baldwin County's been a little slow. Limestone County comes in first. They really, they used to really pride themselves on that, but that's a place that's really grown. Limestone County borders Tennessee. It's kind of more of a Huntsville suburb. I'd watch Shelby County, sometimes an anomaly in these Republican elections. Yeah, look at these places where there's people from out of state tend to move and live. And maybe aren't as locked in on the local politics. And the election that sticks out to me, it was the runoff between Katie Britt and Mo Brooks 4 years ago. He lost his home county, Mo Brooks, but he won one county. It was Shelby County. And I think that was a county that was sort of guided by national politics. More, you know, less about programs like this or the Yellowhammer and 1819 News types. And more about what people are talking about on Fox News. That guides the politics. And this, to some degree, I think you can say a few other places in Alabama, Baldwin County to a degree, Limestone County, probably Autauga County, Prattville. The other question tonight I'm looking at is turnout. It sounds like turnout's kind of rallying right now. Maybe we could get to the average, and that would be that keeps a lot of crazy things from happening. When you have a low, small sample, it becomes less about, you know, your percentages in the polls and more about your raw vote totals. A lot of these races, go ahead and anticipate a runoff. I think Senate. I think Lieutenant Governor. I think Attorney General will have overtime. But also, we have qualifying starting tomorrow morning for Congress. Who's going to run? Will someone challenge Jerry Carl? Will someone challenge Rep. Marcus? Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday are very important days in Alabama politics for at least two of the congressional seats. I wouldn't be surprised if in AL6 you wouldn't see something as well. 7, I don't know. I'm not as plugged in on Democratic Party politics. Who would run against Terry Sewell? Is this the cycle you do it? Do you run against a Democrat in AL7 knowing that it's just not going to be a Republican cycle? We still haven't heard from the federal courts, but we're proceeding despite Anna Manasco, by the way, who yesterday ruled against the state and is keeping the Senate map in place that they had drawn. At the time, a high school student, now a college student at the University of Alabama, had submitted a map. And that's the map that's in place, but the incumbent sort of pulled a fast one on the courts, and Kirk Hatcher, the Democrat, and Will Barfoot are just going to swap districts. That didn't really make a lot of news, but Judge Manasco, who kind of flew under the radar. Scott Butcher said this, and this is so true, that there was one lasting legacy of Doug Jones winning that Senate seat in 2017. It is the appointment of Anna Manasco, who's turned out to rule against the state in a lot of things. But she got overwhelmingly positive feedback from Doug Jones or Richard Shelby at the time. And we're living with that today. Just a few texts. B. Dark Tuberville will be the worst governor we have had and I ever had. Hide and watch. I don't know. I don't think that that's going to be true. Rock and roll doctor, we Alabama are losing the battle for our net inflows of people, their money, who are moving to the Sun Belt, to the states of Florida, Texas, South Carolina, Tennessee. Who else could put us in front of these fellow competitors other than a college football coach? I think the opposite, rock and roll doctor. And I voted, and this is from Tyler, I voted Elsinore. People were starting to trickle in. It seems like zero young people voting. I'm always the youngest person by at least 40 years, and I'm 30. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Cowboys are special.
Back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on what's left of this primary election day. Tillman's Coroner Voting Center is right online. Numbers look normal. So nothing, sounds like things are kind of picking up. And we'll get our usual expected low turnout, but not abysmally low as many of us. We're kind of looking at in the very, very early going, but the day is long, and we'll see where we are when things wrap up here in about 7 hours and some change. So coming up here shortly, Midday Mobile. Sean, what you got?
Hey, Jeff. Yeah, obviously we'll continue the Election Day coverage like we do around here. I'd love to hear from y'all, like you've been chiming in with Dan and Dalton and with Jeff. Let me know what it looks like at your polling place, if it's, you know, busier than normal, slower than normal. Let me know when you go in there, because most people have a habit of voting kind of the same time of day. So give me that compare and contrast. So we'll do that. We'll also talk about what's going on today with April Marie Fogle. She's going to join us. And also coming up in hour number two, Todd Stacey's going to join me. So we'll have some look from around the state. And Jeff, like you promoted as well, reminder to everybody starting at 8 o'clock tonight here at FM Talk 106.5, right after George Williams' show, we'll be on with coverage of tonight's primary, and we'll look around the state and, of course, right here at home. We got Georgia today, Georgia, Pennsylvania.
Georgia, Kentucky, yeah.
Georgia, Kentucky, Pennsylvania, Alabama, Idaho, Oregon. Oh, speaking of Kentucky, okay, and you talked about Thomas Massie a couple times, and for all transparency and blah, 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 you know, I'm a fan, right? The voting thing, if you look at Thomas Massie's votes, right? So he votes, so the president's going after him, but I mean, he votes every time against the omnibus spending bills, right, that conservatives don't like, CRs, budget increases for the feds. He votes against raising debt ceiling, opposes, you know, taxes. He's been against the funding the war in Ukraine and Israel. He's against sending our troops everywhere in the country. He's like the contrary on foreign policy to Lindsey Graham. He's against the expansion of fines. I mean, like the idea that he's being painted as some kind of liberal or something like that is dumb, is what I think.
It's like it's not really an ideological thing. It's just
he doesn't like him. There you go. He just, the president doesn't like Massie. Okay.
Well, he's anti-Trump brand of populism, I guess.
I think he's consistent, but
yeah. Yeah, I mean, but
we'll see what happens. I mean, if he goes down in Kentucky, that's a tell.
That is a tell. I mean, that would be, because we've already seen Cassidy and now Indiana.
Yep.
That, I mean, you can't, we'll see if how it goes in Georgia and how it goes here, even if his candidates do well. You know, I don't know. Trump has the power he had in 2018. I don't know that he still does.
We'll see. There'll be a measure of that going on tonight. So we'll talk about that coming up.
Well, I got to get out of here. I'll try to do better tonight at 8 o'clock and as well tomorrow as we wrap up everything. Sorry, Phyllis, I forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.